If you'll notice, the theme that I have for the morning sermon is When Lightning Strikes. When Lightning Strikes. And we have a number of references to lightning in the scriptures, which I'm going to put together for you. And I'm sure it'll be a great blessing. Who hath divided the waters for the overflowing of waters? Or a way for the lightning of thunder? That's Job 38, verse 25. The answer is God did it. Would you like to have me develop what the Bible says about lightning? I remember when I was a boy, whenever it lightning and thunder, I wanted to crawl under the bed. I mean, you're scared of it. And out in Chicago, where we were for a while, it gets lightning every day. We don't get so much here, but we get some. Would you like to let me tie lightning to the plans of God for us? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it for you in this sermon. Remember when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they were in the wilderness, they came to Mount Sinai? I'd like to have you turn me now to Exodus chapter 19, and you'll be interested in seeing what the Lord says here, Moses. And in this 19th chapter of Exodus, we're going to deal with lightning. And we have an account beginning with verse 7. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto Moses, Give unto the people, go unto the people, sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready again the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon the mount. Christ rose again on the third day, you remember. Now here's Mount Sinai, and their confrontation with God. And thou shalt set bounds upon the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mound or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the border shall be surely put to death. Here's their encounter, getting the Ten Commandments down out of heaven. There shall not be a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. And then verse 14. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said, Be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there was thunder and lightning. The appearance of God. There was thunder and lightning. And a thick cloud upon the mount. And the voice of the trumpet sounded loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the neither part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. When the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder as Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. Now what I want to point out to you, that in this first appearance of God to the children of Israel on Mount Sinai, he did it in the midst of thunderings and lightning. Now do I have to explain to you what thunderings and lightning are? Lightning is when the clouds are dark and maybe it's raining or getting ready to rain. This will be a terrible sight. Sometimes you can see it from the heavens here down to earth, and then you wait just a minute, and then you get this awful rumbling. It scares you to death. Well, it says there were thunders and lightning. Now may I turn you, please, to the Gospel according to Matthew. And in the 24th verse, we have the words of our Lord. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if ye shall say unto you, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That's the coming to the Mount of Olives. That's not the rapture. But at the end of all the judgment, when he comes, as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, shall so also the coming of the Son of Man. When God came down to Mount Sinai and gave him the Ten Commandments, there was lightning and thunder. And every time the lightning comes and the thunder rolls, you say, Lord, yes, you gave us the Ten Commandments that time. But it's going to roll and lightning from the east and the west, and when that comes, you're going to give us the Messiah to live and reign on the throne of David. Well, if it starts with lightning and ends with lightning, it's not too bad. And whenever it comes, the lightning and storms come with it, you think of these blessed things. Now we have, of course, these many, many other references to the lightning. But here's a little something I want to introduce to you. I want you to turn to Nahum chapter 2. And this is a passage that I've had before me over the years because my mother told me, son, you've got the automobile in the Bible. I said, no, Mama, you don't have it. But she used to quote this passage in Nahum because it's tied in with lightning, and I want you to turn to Nahum. Chapter 2, verse 4. One of the minor prophets that we very often speak on, but it's full of tremendous reference. Listen to this. The chariots shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one another against one another in the broad ways. Well, they're dual highways today. They shall seem like chariots. They shall run like the lightnings. Now you just take your imagination a little bit and look at that. The chariots shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against another in the broad way. They shall seem like torches. Aren't those your headlights? Don't they seem like torches? They shall run like the lightning. Oh, the speed, 80 miles an hour. There's your lightning coming down the road. That is here in the Old Testament, and unquestionably refers to these latter days when they'll have these terrible judgments shall fall upon them, like lightning. I don't think my mother was far wrong. I don't think it. She was. We got plenty of automobiles. We got plenty of speeds. And now man's reaching out into the heavens like he is today. Now we have other references. Of course, I want you to turn with me to Job. Just the latter part, Job 38 and Job 37, where Job is speaking about these very matters. And in the 37th chapter of Job, verse 3, we read, He directeth it unto the whole heaven, and his lightnings unto the ends of the earth. And so when we have a big electrical storm, it lights up the whole heavens from the ends of the earth. After that a voice roareth, he thundereth with the voice of his excellency. And then you got Job 38, when Job is talking about who made all these things, who hath divided the water courses for the overflowing of the waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder. And so when the lightning comes, it comes along God's way as he has made it. Beloved, there's not anything that God has made he doesn't intend to use for his glory and for the blessing of his saints. And I love the creation because of it. I love to get up in the skies and look down and see the curvature of the earth and say, Oh Lord, one day it's going to be Garden of Eden again. And no Christian who knows the Lord and loves the Lord cannot enjoy these references that God makes to the sun and the morning star and to the rainbow and now to the lightnings that stretch over the heavens. They make you think of the coming of Christ. Wasn't it good of God to do all these things for us? Wasn't it wonderful that God could associate His acts? Ten Commandments, lightning. The return of Christ, lightning. The hope of these people when they see the lightning. Oh yes, it's going to come in a big way on that glorious day. Now if God ties His purposes and His plans into the Bible, it was His business. But He did it for our comfort, for our happiness, for our enjoyment. Of an earth that's cursed as we wait for the day when the curse will be taken off of it. Now that's God's plan. Why in the world do we get messed up with all these things that take our time and our energy and our vain? They don't amount to anything. Why can't we do the work of God? Why can't we talk about the lightnings? Why can't we talk about the stars? And why can't we tell everybody that God has told this in His book so that from the very beginning the saints would look at it? Well, I have another place for you, and I want you to turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 1. And when you see this and you begin to enlarge upon what God has here for us, my brother, I stand in this pulpit and I'm so thankful that these things are in nature and I can refer them to the Bible and I can stand up and I know that this old earth is here with signs telling me to enjoy the Lord. Enjoy your Savior while you pass along. Enjoy your Redeemer every day that nature displays her beauty and the stars shine in their courses. Ezekiel chapter 1. Verse 4, and I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud with a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness about it, and out of the midst thereof is the color of amber, as the midst of the fire. And out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And every one had four faces, and every one had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of a calf foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass, and they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had the faces of their wings. The wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. And as for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side. They four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces. And their wings were stretched upward, two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward whither the Spirit was to go. They went, and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire came forth, what was it? Lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now turn with me, please, to Revelation chapter 4. We get a section here, 5, 6, and 7, and here we come. My, this tying lightnings in with this reference to our Lord Jesus Christ. But in the book of Revelations, you have a confirmation of what we have here. And in the
4th chapter, the apostle gives it all to it. After this, I looked, and behold, the door was opened in heaven. And then he goes on immediately to tell us what he saw. Now listen to this. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings. My, I ran into that word. Out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of the fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and around about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Here you get Ezekiel's four beasts. And the first beast was like a lion. The second beast was like a calf. The third beast had the face of a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. That's the description of the Lord Jesus. That is a confirmation of Ezekiel chapter 1, where you have these four creatures. There are four sides of them. Here's the face of a man. Here's the face of a lion. Here's the face of an ox. Here's the face of an eagle. The lion is Matthew. The man is Luke. The ox is Mark, and the eagle is John. In Ezekiel and in Revelation, you have a presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ in the four Gospels. And in Matthew, you get the lion. In Luke, you get the man. In Mark, you get the ox or the servant. And in John, you get the eagle, the deity. And these four presentations in the four Gospels that you and I have were shown before by God in Ezekiel and in Revelation as presentations of our blessed Savior. And working with them in the midst of them is lightning. I don't think we're going to get away from lightning. I don't think we're going to be able to get out of its consequences. But when Ezekiel saw this vision of God, and here was the lion. That's Matthew with Israel and all that she had to say. And here was the man. Here's Luke with going back to the very beginning of his genealogy. And then here's Mark the servant. Here he is, the ox. And then here's John with all the glory of his deities, the eagle. Now all those representations are good for you and me. They help us. They strengthen us. God's put so many things everywhere that you and I can't get away from Jesus Christ. And he's not going to get away from us because he won't leave us. And he won't forsake us. Well, that puts an awful lot on the angels. I've got a number of other references. There's one in the book of Daniel. Let me turn to you of that, the 7th to 10th chapter of Daniel, where Daniel's in prayer, and we get this angel who comes to him to tell him. Here it is. Daniel was praying and praying and praying. And in the 4th and 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose linen loins were girded with fine gold of Ephah, and his body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. Therefore, I was left alone. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees. And he said, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for I am sent unto thee now. And when he had spoken these words unto me, I stood trembling. Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. Little Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand. And he was like lightning. Now I'm going to say something to you. I'm glad the lady at the party the other night liked what I said about the moon. And I must give her credit for the one that led me to proceed to develop the lightnings. But this passage says, when Jesus comes to the Mount of Olives, he'll gather his elect from one end of the heavens to another. And it'll be like the lightning covering the whole world. Now, I take it because it's there. I put it together because it came down at the Ten Commandments when they came. It came down when Jesus came in his revelation in the climax of this great plan of God to redeem us. I can never let it lightning without thinking that it'll be that bite when Jesus lands. I can never think of the Ten Commandments and Moses coming out of Israel with all these troubles and going to Mount Sinai. Now he says, on the third day, the Lord's going to appear, and as he appeared, there was lightning. Lightning came with the Ten Commandments, and lightning struck on the Ten Commandments. My, this is tremendous. I'm sure no other preacher ever dug out a sermon like that for you. But as you walk about this earth and handle our mundane things day after day, God has put about us these little things in nature that he's tied with the Bible and with his Son and with his people and their progress on the earth. I think it's terrible, beloveds, that our nation has gotten so far away. Nobody ever talks the Bible. I'm getting to where I don't like to even listen to the news, but call it this one sex problem here, and somebody else has got dope here, and somebody else. They take the first 10 minutes telling you about the crimes that are taking place in the day. I don't like to listen to them. But we're dealing with a land where the Ten Commandments are no more being taught to their children in their schools. We're dealing with a land where the things that God denounced. Last evening I heard that the Roman Catholic Cardinal of New York was going to be on a New York station, so I made it a point to listen to it. As my entire night turned him on, I wanted to hear what the Cardinal of New York would have to say. And he said there were two things for which the Roman Catholic Church was being criticized in New York, and which he was being criticized. And he said the first one had to do with the homosexuals. And then he proceeded to say that in no way did he condemn the homosexuals. They were wrong, they would treat them, but they would not condemn them. Then he warned in the second place, and he said, we do not believe that we should kill these babies. But then he wound up by saying, I don't condemn this either. Well, as I listened to him, I said to Ms. Mankind, I said, Ms. Mankind, why in the name of heaven does he quote the authority of the Bible instead of the authority of the church? He was telling us what his church position was. But when he got done, his church position didn't quite equal the Bible's position. It's the Bible that says that life belongs to God, and man can't make it. It's beyond his power. But man has no right to take it or to destroy it. And that's God speaking, not the church. That's the Bible talking to us. That's the lightning that's in the heavens. And why I believe so strong, and want you people to realize, our church has got the greatest opportunity in the world to build a great Christian school here if we'd all get behind it and do like we ought to. We can do it. bringing these children here from their parents and let them have the standards that we have. And I'm not interested in anybody telling me anything about these filthy things if they don't get it out of the Bible. The Bible is our rule. It's our standard of decency. It's the way we run our homes. It's the way we run our church. And God's put about us all these beautiful and wonderful things, and for which we thank God. Now you can turn to the book of Revelation. We've got quite a few references to the lightning in the book of Revelation. There's the 16th chapter of the book of Revelation. And you come down to verse 18. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. This is just at the time of the Battle of Armageddon, verse 16. And a great earthquake, lightnings and thunders, such as was not since sin men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. But during that time of great tribulation, and especially at the climax of the Battle of Armageddon, we're going to get some lightning. And we're going to get some thunder. Beloved, when all heaven opens up against this wicked earth, there's nothing wrong with a lot of thunders rolling around it and lightning splashing through the skies. And men will ask for the mountains to fall on them. And when Jesus comes to the Mount of Olives, there'll be lightning. Now, the last illustration I'll give you is that when Jesus rose from the dead, and we're told that there was a great thunder and lightning, and what did he do? Rolled stone away. My, I love to look at the lightning now. I like to look at the stone rolled away, the sun coming from the clouds, Moses on the top of him, getting from the mountain the sight of God. Lightnings can be bad, and they are. But lightnings can be good, and it's wonderful to see it. Now let us close, please, by turning to hymn number 130. Come 131. Come we that love the Lord. heavens declare thy glory. And we thank thee that this Bible of ours is tied in with the heavens. We thank thee that we saw something fresh, something that was golden, that thou had in the treasures of this book. Oh, Lord, we believe it. We want to obey it fully. We want to maintain a church that is blessed and used, and where all thy saints are determined that this place will serve thee aright. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now until we meet again tonight, and until the lightning flashes. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.